I've got a question here for Bono, from Chloe Rogerson in Western Australia and Perth. Say if Larry I'll give you the sack, what's become of you?
Could you repeat that, Joe? I lost that.
Yeah, sure. If the rest of the band basically gave you the sack, what would become of you? In it with a dirty Mac on somewhere.
I beg your pardon. I mean, it's true. I would be down on my luck, and I am a vagrant at the best of times. But
I think it's a difficult question to answer, probably.
It is. I mean, I really. Outside of my family and friends, I can't think of anything more that I want to do with my life than writing music and singing for this band. The political work that I do because there's no one else that's doing it. It's not that I want to do it. It's just that there's not enough people doing it. I think there should be people who are better qualified, and I do get an incredible satisfaction out of, you know, getting money out of governments, but it's not like not like writing a song, and not like being in U2. I wouldn't know what to do. I would be it would be awful, but, you know, two crap records and you're out.
Yep, that's right. What's the landscape where music's concerned at the moment? New bands are genuinely exciting. Do you think it's a good scene at the moment?
Edge,
yeah, gone.
Yeah, well, I do, actually. I mean, I think, like always, like for as long as I can remember, there's a lot of really depressing music out there. But in amongst the dross, there is, I think, a lot of very exciting things going on. And I have to say, there's a lot of vitality and a lot of life in the rock and roll band kind of scene right now. With
Black Rebel Motorcycle Club,
yeah,
a great example. The Hives.
Yeah. Yeah. Queens of the Stone Age, have you seen them?
Yeah, they're good. You know, and it's just great to see bands coming through, you know. I suppose,
Mooney Suzuki, have you checked them?
No.
Yeah, they're great too.
Where from?
You know, I think they're from America.
Okay.
And it's just full on rock and roll.
Okay. And these are the ones who are kind of biting at your ankles.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's things go in cycles. I think when you've had as many really awful disposable records as we've had over the last 5 or 6 years, it's time for rock and roll to come back and blow it all out. That seems to be what's happening.
You haven't made contact with the Neptunes at all, have you?
No.
I'd love to work with the Neptunes.
I think that'd be great for you.
I think that's a great idea, actually. And they've done some very, very innovative work, usually in R&B, and, you know, they've worked with Lauryn Hill, I think, on a couple of things, and but their name keeps cropping up whenever you hear something that feels fresh on the radio. They're really something. But I like the sort of new country thing as well that's coming through. And even in the UK, Richard Ashcroft, that album, I think, there's some really powerful songs on that, Richard Ashcroft and his kind of Glen Campbell vibe. I'm really into that.
Okay. Another question comes from David Ball. What's your song? They're coming up with all the big ones now. What's your favourite U2 song, Adam? We'll ask you that first. Actually, it's from Charlotte in Wales, to give the proper credit.
Right. I guess it would have to be actually, I've forgotten what it's called.
Sing it to us.
Well, no, there's a reason why it would be it would be really good, but I actually can't remember the title. it's off the last album, and it was the song that Bono always dedicated to his father.
Kite.
Kite, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know, it's just one of the great U2 moments for me in probably the last 5 years, and I think it really suited, you know, what Bono was trying to do in terms of honouring his father. So it was very powerful in the studio when we were kind of putting it together and working it out live. It just always used to blow me away. So that's
right. Any Charlotte also says any songs that you've worked on that now make you cringe. Adam, still with you?
A song that makes me cringe?
Yeah, a U2 song.
I love all of them. No.
Okay, Larry, what about you? We'll try you with that one.
I've probably forgotten the ones that I'm not that keen on.
Okay.
Which part of the question am I to answer? My favourite are the ones that make me cringe.
No, we did the ones that make... Oh, there's a list, is there?
There's a list. The YouTube songs that make me cringe don't make me cringe because I think they're not very good, thankfully. I cringe sometimes. But, I mean, I heard... who's going to ride your wild horse? I heard that in a... I have to be in a drinking establishment. And there was a plane to give them came on. I thought, what a brilliant song, and how, certainly from my point of view, I just thought, how I screwed it up, how it could have been so much better, potentially so much better, and I cringed because we weren't smart enough or proficient enough at our job to actually bring that to its conclusion. So there are several songs that I feel like that about.
Are you generally the most critical in the band? That's what you're doing.
Not by a long shot. No, we're all as critical as each other, and that's the beauty of being in U2. That everybody has got very deep-rooted opinions about things, and the consensus in the band is only if it's great. You know, if it's great, you know that's the consensus, and everybody moves ahead. And if it's not great, there's going to be fights. Someone's going to get a dig.
When was the last major ruck that you all had then?
I'd say probably... It was definitely during All That You Can't Leave Behind. That was a major somebody got a dig because they weren't playing fast enough.
And how do they manifest themselves, these disagreements? Is it lots of shouting?
Songs are better than slow songs. We that's a very simple rule being in our band. Fast songs are better than slow songs.
You asked how it manifests yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Just sitting there, the next thing just got a foot in your ass.
It's physical.
Physical. And it's like foot and ass and a sign saying play faster.
Okay, Edge, what's your favourite U2 song?
It changes all the time, I have to be honest, because I'm just that kind of guy. But I think this week it's probably Running to Stand Still.
Okay.
Well, you're on the smack, are you?
And what about songs that make you cringe?
There was a few early on, I think, that have not stood the test of time quite.
Is this Bono talking?
No, this is Edge.
Edge, sorry.
We're turning into each other.
I would quite happily never hear a song called Jerusalem from the October album again. It's not that it isn't without any merit. It's just so over the top, which was one of our great talents early on, was to be over the top, but it's more over the top than even we were normally capable of. So,
and that's saying something. Well, no. What about your favourite song?
I really heard the other week Miss Sarajevo, and it just kind of blew in like a breeze. You know, just the way it rolls in, and then this volcano erupts in the middle, having Luciano Pavarotti sing. Dice che il fiume, lava mia amore, or that, whatever, that just the most extraordinary thing, and that's my favourite.
Okay, and the opposite?
I think if a song is really... If a song doesn't make you cringe, it can't be that good.
I think the great songs do kind of make you a little nervous. And certainly the more emotional songs should always make you feel embarrassed. And I can remember being at a stoplight in Dublin when they played on the national radio on RTE, they played MLK, which is this tiny sort of song in the middle of the Unforgettable Fire album, and I thought I just sounded like a girl singing it, and I got embarrassed, and I was at a stoplight, and there was people looking at me, and I was purple. But the truth of it is, what it is it's just, you know, when you sing, you have to open your, you have to open yourself up, you have to be raw, and you have to reveal yourself, and sometimes it's very difficult for me to listen to that back, and because it might not be as macho as you see yourself.
Okay. Which, this is from a guy called Vincent Curry, Vincent P. Curry, in the States. Which member of the band would be most likely to avoid the dinner check upon its arrival? Edge.
Great question.
It's a good question. I think we all are very competitive in getting to the dinner check quickest.
Yeah, right.
Honestly, I mean, it's a very Irish thing, but it's like our rows tend to be, no, give that to me. Now, bollocks, give that to me. You got last week. So we tend to have stand-up rows about who gets the opportunity to pay the check.
Okay, so who normally gets that?
Well, Bono's the most devious when it comes to getting the check. I'm afraid I would tend to get a little wrapped up in conversation. I don't get to it as quick as Bono.
Larry, your answer, Vincent,
is about the same as myself, and Adam. Adam doesn't go out to the dinner thing as much as the others.
He brings you round to his house, and he kills the fatted calf.
Yeah, he's more. I'll bring you up to my house and show you an amazing time. So
I have to say, for Adam Bono here, like, it is an incredible thing, because Adam, since he's given up drinking, he still, if you go to his house, he brings out the absolute finest wines.
Yes.
The most ridiculous, over-the-top, expensive wines. And just seems to get a laugh out of us drinking them. And then probably being stupid afterwards. Maybe that's what he's laughing at.
Just like Adam.
Not at all. I guess I was very ambitious when I bought it, so somebody should drink it. Have a good time on it.
Are you a good cook, Adam?
Actually, I wish I was better, but I do like to put on the apron every so often.
I'm sure it suits you.
That's just to go out, Adam. What about your cooking?
I can open it.
Okay. This is from Yolka. He says, "What are you doing when you have any free time? What do you do?" When you're not playing music and you do get free time, how do you spend it? Outside of the family, because I know you obviously spend a lot of time with your families, but there must be pursuits that you have, like whether it's sporting or cultural. What do you do? Edge, do you want to answer that?
Oh, me? Well, I like to go to the movies or to the theatre.
Last great film you saw?
Jim Sheridan's movie, as yet unreleased, called In America, is absolutely amazing. Funnily enough, it's featuring Samantha Morton, and she's incredible in it. She's just an incredible actor.
Did you fight to get in that video out of interest, or did it just came down to Larry, obviously?
Well, did we fight to get in it?
Electrical Storm, I'm a bit
with it. In the video, no, I mean, I think there is a proper order, which is, you know, your LV, your lead singer, is the guy who does the lead roles in the video. That's fairly well established. But I think this particular treatment,
he was looking a bit rough.
He recognised there might be somebody else in the band even more suited to this particular role. Hence he asked Larry if he'd be interested. So it wasn't a case of fighting or anything like that. It was more a case of, you know, the man who was best suited to the particular job was was basically press ganged into it.
But he's also age is very difficult to get into a bath.
Larry, you still there?
Yes, I am. So what was the question again? I got completely, I got lost there for a minute.
He's watching the video back in his apartment. Like he's getting distracted.
All right, listen, concentrate. What do you do then outside of when you're making music or when you're with your family?
Well, you know, there are other things to do. I mean, apart from like social, of course, everyone does social things and whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, there are things to do within the, you know, the band is not just a musical group. There are things to be taken care of in the band, and we all share those responsibilities. There's always lots of stuff to do, and there are very rarely moments of freedom where you can, you know, like have a hobby, like, you know, the collecting of coins and stamps.
You do have an extensive collection.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I'm saying that if I had a little more time, I definitely would take up coin collecting or stamp collecting. I think it's a very, very interesting hobby. But I can't because I don't have enough time.
That's one of Larry's great regrets. Yeah, you're going to have that on the gravestone, Larry.
Oh, yeah. What I should have done.
Yeah.
Okay, Bono, what kind of stuff do you do in your free time? You have no peculiar habits or obsessions or...
I have a load of peculiar habits and obsessions.
That you want to share with us?
And unfortunately, I don't have time to enjoy them. I really enjoy actually hanging out with my kids. I'm doing some painting with them. Jordan and Eve, my two girls, we're doing Peter and the Wolf, and we're painting for this. There's a new edition of that book, Peter and the Wolf, which is about teaching. It's about sort of waking kids up to what, you know, musical instruments are and what they're capable of. It's an old fable. Prokofiev did the music originally, and now my friend Gavin Friday and Morris Caesar have done the music, and the book aspect, myself and my two girls are going to do the paintings for her. I like that sort of stuff. I like hanging out with my kids.
Okay, that'll do. And Adam, you still there?
I guess, you know, traveling is something that I like to do if there's a kind of gap, but otherwise, you know, just actually enjoying being in a city and, you know, going and seeing gigs or whatever, checking the record shops, checking the bookshops, just kind of things that you don't normally get time to do, but you can kind of lose yourself in it.
Okay. I'll ask you if you have a favourite book, Adam. This is from Ben S. I don't know exactly where he is.
I wouldn't say anything sticks out, you know, in one particular way. I mean, I've been reading the Zadie Smith books recently. I mean, I've just got Autograph Man and I haven't started it, but I thought White Teeth was, you know, fantastic. It really kind of summed up a certain aspect of what's happened in England. But I kind of just keep an eye on what's come out and what's doing well and just read it and keep up on it.
Okay. Question from Cass, who says, do you ever wish you weren't famous? Larry, do you want to answer that one?
Well, you know, I've got the best job in the whole world because I get to, I get to hit things for a living behind very large MD drum here. And, you know, so I'm kind of protected to a large degree. And I don't have this sort of profile that Bono Edge particularly have, because I'm not out front, and a lot of people.
You are fairly distinctive, though.
Well, I don't. I mean, I am. I'm distinctive to those who know me, but I think to the general public. I mean, I was in a bar the other night, and you know, people. I'm sure some people came up to say hello. Well, I know that had Bono walked into that place, he wouldn't have been able to sit down and enjoy a pint. Edge probably the same. I don't know. Maybe Adam would have. Well, like, I enjoy a large amount of anonymity, and I really enjoy that. And, you know, my first priority is to protect my family, and I do that vigorously. And so, I mean, I don't really have a lot of the problems of fame. I mean, the discomfort is sometimes you might be there you know, sticking your fork into your vegetarian risotto, and somebody comes over and asks you if they can take a photograph of you before you actually get your head out of the plate. There are some uncomfortable moments, but in general, the rest of the guys, I think, take much more flack for the same thing than I do. And, I didn't join a band to be famous or for celebrity. I think there are things that are sort of cast upon you. I joined the band to hit things, and it's fun.
It's fair to say that he's hit a few autographs, bunches, with, and the fork went from the risotto into the eye of Bunter.
I'm a little intolerant of the fan, and when I say fan, I mean the fanatic, like hanging outside studios or hanging outside people's houses. I just think that's a waste of time. And I really,
and do you tell them?
I try to just avoid it. I really do avoid it. Because what happens, I think people become a little, you know, it becomes more of an infatuation than somebody who's interested in you. People become too interested in you. And I often think of vulnerable situations and these people hanging outside. I think, I wish those guys would go and spend the afternoon writing letters to know, different presidents asking from one of them, and then back into the studio and do what he really wants to do, you know. So
I have to say the other side of that, though, Joe, is that when I first went to America when I was 19 and arrived in Los Angeles, I wanted to go and see where Bob Dylan lived and Brian Wilson. And I went to where Brian Wilson lived. Brian Wilson was the genius songwriter from the Beach Boys. And I wanted to just pay respect. So whenever, so I often see it as that. I see people just wanting to pay respect to the music that has meant something to them. And I was like that. And that's a different thing from climbing your wall. And kind of, you know, breaking and entering your private life. And I think.
Yeah.
I think that's different, but there's an...
Are there occasions when you really wish that you were completely anonymous and that you despise the fame that you have?
You walk differently if people are looking at you. Yeah, and you laugh. I of course, in Africa, where I spend a fair amount of time now, people don't know that I'm in a band. They think I'm the drop the dead guy, at best.
Yeah.
And so you find yourself walking in some... You know, just in, you know, in, you know, the sort of the north of Ghana, out in this, in these kind of rice fields, and or used to be rice fields, and you just completely forget that you're in a band. I enjoy that a lot, and in Dublin, I forget I'm in a band, believe it or not, because I just hang out with the same people and go to the same places, and they're nicely bored with me there. But I love in New York, I mean, it's an amazing thing, because I'm walking down the street, people always say hello to me, they beep their horn as I'm walking down, and they don't stop you. They just
so that
not.
Feels good. You actually do enjoy being recognized.
If people don't get in your face, it's a nice feeling that people saying, we're with you, we're with you. And in fact, I've just had a lot of that just today, you know, just in New York City, and that is an amazing feeling that the city has taken you to heart. But they're not going to.
Quite an extraordinary feeling, though. I mean, that happens to very few people. That must be quite a bizarre realization.
Yeah, and the cops, you know, when cops start nodding at you, usually, well, just from where I come from, usually makes you nervous. But not, you know, New York, because of 9/11, and because of. A lot of them were from Irish families, American Irish families. It's an amazing thing. The NYPD are just so good to you if you're in U2, I mean, I haven't tried their patience in any extraordinary ways. But it's just nice to get that nod as you're crossing the street.
Okay, and Edge, what about you yourself? Do you ever wish that you weren't famous?
Generally, I actually have a good time with it because, like Bono, if people come up to you in the street, it's generally you're being approached because they love your music. And I think that is the distinction for us is that we're famous because of our songs, not for just being famous. And so it's not quite so personal. And you get the odd opportunity to have a laugh with it. You know? Like the other night, I happened to be in Los Angeles on Halloween, so I went out on the street dressed as The Edge with a guitar, and I basically wandered through the streets of Venice, and people just would come up and say, "You look so like him. That is amazing." And I had some brilliant comments and a complete laugh. One guy said, "You're just like him. You're a little short, but you're really like him."
And,
no one. It was actually amazing. I got away with it. I was actually once or twice a little concerned that I would get rumbled and maybe the joke could turn on me, and you know, I'd end up having to run down the street with a guitar in my hand. So that was a little bit of a concern. But actually, as it happened, I got away with it. And so for all those people who think they saw this really, really, really impressive Edge impersonator down in Venice on Halloween, actually it was me.
So I interviewed Eminem a couple of years ago, and it was just before Halloween, and he was saying that he was going to go out with his daughter, Hayley, trick-or-treating. And just the idea of kind of opening up your door and there's Eminem standing on your door trick-or-treating was quite funny.
And people are dressing as him as we speak.
Are they?
Well, I was out on Halloween as well. It's a big deal here in America. I was out as well, and I called to a couple of doors, and there were people dressed as Eminem with Eminem masks.
Yeah, truly, truly frightening. Adam, what about yourself? Any kind of curse of fame that's ever really bugged you, or do you quite enjoy the notoriety?
Generally, I mean, people are really, you know, nice and generous, and I think, as Bonner was saying, they just want to touch base in some way.
Have you ever lost your temper with a fan, Adam?
What's that?
Have you ever lost your temper with a fan?
I don't think so. I mean, it's you know, I don't lose my temper very often. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think so. Generally, you know, I tend to not get bothered too much by it, and it's people who, you know, are more interested on a musical level in a way than people who are just becoming hysterical. And I think that's frightening when people, you know, people are kind of upset and disturbed. But no, generally, it's, you know, the day goes better with it rather than without it.
Okay. A couple of factual questions. Pepin, I think it is, Pepin Schmidt. Is any material from Sling Castle, from the concert there, going to be released? I would die to see a DVD of that concert.
Larry, I heard it back. By the way, you did an amazing job mixing it.
Does anyone know about it?
Yes, they were putting out Slane Castle on, I think it's coming out in the next week, and it's going to be on TVs around the world. And I don't know if there's a DVD coming out or not, but it wasn't meant to be filmed. We just filmed it for posterity, but we were talked into at least having a look at it and a rough cut, and it turned out it's a very emotional, it's a big extraordinary tribal event, much bigger than the band, and just about, I don't think anyone's ever seen us play in Ireland. That's the strange thing. You've seen us play everywhere. Concerts in Mexico, Sydney, Red Rocks, USA, but never at home. And it's going out in the next weekend. Larry makes the sound, and it just sounds extraordinary.
You did a good job, Larry, then. The most popular topic, I think, is biggest question was, when are you two next playing live again? Who's got the answer for that?
I think this is Edge. It'll have to be after the next studio record is released, and we don't really know when that's going to be, so I would say at least another year and a half.
Oh, don't say that.
Come on, you gotta, I mean, when you think about, you know,
these songs, we could have this record finished in before, well, not before Christmas, but I think we could certainly have it finished before next Christmas. We've got half of it. This I think is going to be the easiest record we ever made. These songs are just coming from I don't know where, but they are arriving. and they're extraordinary, upfront, up tempo, full on.
Rock and roll again.
It's really there's life force.
Yeah, Mana's right in that sense. There's an incredible kind of energy in a lot of the new songs that we're coming up with. But I'm just being realistic. But no, I mean, ideally, we'd love to be out. You know.
Could you join this band to be realistic yet?
You're absolutely right. Cancel that. Give us 3 weeks.
Okay. Yes, it could happen at any time, basically. Watch this space. Listen, I think that's going to wrap up now. Unless there is anything that I failed to ask that you think you need to tell the world.
You didn't ask me my favourite colour.
Oh yeah, and do you wear underpants?
I'd like to say, I'd like to say, on the book front.
Yeah.
If I could, there's the most. I know this sounds heavy, right? I'm just like, but it's just, it really is something that has just blown my mind. There's a. There's a translation of the Bible that's out by this fellow called Eugene Peterson. And he's a poet as well as a scholar, and he's been working his way through each of the books, and now he's finally this year finished the whole thing. And if you've ever read the Bible, and sometimes you know, you hear these things as you're growing up, and they just, it just, you don't hear it anymore because the words, they just, they don't connect, because they're written in some odd English. This guy has written it with such a poetic sensibility and such a sense of now. I just, if anyone has any interest in reading the Bible, this is a great version, and they're amazing.
You're pointing the way. Eugene Peterson, you're saying?
Eugene Peterson, it's an amazing thing.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. What are your plans for the rest of the day then? You're all in New York, so I guess you're going to get together?
Are you serious about that, Edge?
Yeah, I'd meet you for a pint, no problem.
Okay, I'll call, I guess it's... better not say right now where it's going to be.
I've got a basic meeting for the rest of the afternoon. So I'll be drinking tea.
And Adam?
Well, it's about 3 o'clock here, so I'm going to hit the sack.
Hey, Adam, thank you very much indeed. Ed, thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
And a massive thank you to everybody who got in touch with all their questions, just tons of questions, like I said. Hope you enjoyed this global broadcast. It's certainly been surreal for us a lot, I think.
Amazing. This is certainly one of the most remarkable events we've been a part of, and I want to thank you, Joe, for hanging out.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm off for a black velvet now.
There you go.
Hey! Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.